This time of year is a very meaningful one. For some, it's just another holiday, but for our country, there are certain holidays we have that are of great significance for us. Memorial Day is one of those special days that we pause from our regular routine of life to reflect and to remember sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Not everybody is able to go and fight battles that help preserve freedom. Not everybody is able to serve. But we all pause to remember those who have served in some capacity, and I know in this congregation we have several who have served in various branches of service. It may be that some are not real sure of exactly how it came about that we have a day like this. Usually there are special events or things that are the cause for establishing special times of celebration and remembrance. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day, and some of you older folk here might remember it that way, Decoration Day. We don't hear it referred to that often. That's a good trivia question, by the way, for you young people, if you're ever asked that, about Decoration Day. It's the same as what we now observe as Memorial Day. And the reason it was called Decoration Day, because it was a time set aside to honor the nation's Civil War dead by decorating their graves. It was first widely observed on May the 30th, 1868, shortly after the Civil War, to commemorate the sacrifices of Civil War soldiers by proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic. And you may never have heard of that, but that was an organization of former sailors and soldiers. And on May the 5th, 1868, Logan declared a General Order Number 11, and this is what he stated in that order. He said, "The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. In this observance, no form of ceremony is prescribed, but posts and comrades will in their own way arrange such fitting services and testimonials of respect as circumstances may permit." That was his proclamation. It was during the first celebration of Decoration Day that General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 50,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried in the cemetery. In 1868, celebration was inspired by local observances of the day in several towns throughout America that had taken place in the 3 years since the Civil War. In fact, it's an interesting point, there were several northern and southern cities who claimed to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. So several cities were claiming this, including Columbus, Mississippi, Macon, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia, Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, and Carbondale, Illinois. But in 1966, the federal government, under the direction of President Lyndon Johnson, declared that Waterloo, New York, was the official birthplace of Memorial Day. They chose Waterloo, which had first celebrated the day on May the 5th in 1866, because the town had made Memorial Day an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. So that's a little bit of the history of it. That brings us up to the present. I wanted to just speak on this subject this morning, memorials to keep, memorials to keep. There are some things worth forgetting. There are other things that are worth remembering. Memorials serve to remind us of things that should not be forgotten. I want to take you back to a passage in Exodus, the 17th chapter and the 8th verse. And I'm going to just read a couple verses below this to an incident that took place in the life of Israel. They had just left Egypt, recently left Egypt, the great Exodus, and they were in the land of promise. They were wandering in the wilderness, not thinking it would take them as long as it eventually did to get through the wilderness, but in their travels, we have this account. And I'm not going to read the whole account. I'm just going to give you enough of the background so you'll understand the statement that then follows. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And if you move down then to verse 13 in this passage, it says, "So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.'" A memorial. A battle took place. Amalek had opposed the Israelites, came against them, and it's quite a fascinating story how it happened. It was miraculous, and the Israelites were victorious. And after this happened, then the Lord speaks to Moses and makes that statement, "Write this in a book as a memorial." Write it down. Don't forget what just happened. I want this to be a memorial for you to remember. And so write it down, and I want you to make sure that Joshua remembers and the people remember. And then he goes on to say that "I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." There are several things you can get from this passage. First of all, why was this memorial important for Israel? It was important because it was a great victory. A great victory. You want to remember things that are of consequence in your life. Things, especially something like a great victory. You want to keep that in clear focus. It was God's intervention. I don't know if you this morning can think back in your relationship with God. Those times when you were facing a difficulty, maybe it was a battle of sorts, spiritual battle perhaps in your life, or the opposition might come from without. It might have been someone who was opposing you in some way, some circumstance, and you knew that there was a spiritual battle going on. It wasn't just a happenstance. It wasn't just something of a coincidence, but there was a spiritual battle going on. And I faced moments like that in the past, and I knew in my spirit that this was not just an ordinary thing. It wasn't just the circumstances, but there was a spiritual battle that was going on, and I was left in that place to make a decision. What was I going to do? Was I going to trust God and put God at His word and believe that He would come through and that He would have my best interest at heart? Maybe you faced a circumstance like that. If you haven't, you will sometime in your life. As a child of God, as a Christian, it will happen, because we know that the road is not always easy for the child of God. Here, the Israelites had just come through this great victory. They had escaped, in essence, the great Exodus. They had left Egypt, and you know the story how the Egyptians then had second thoughts and began to pursue them. It was a tremendous miracle that happened that preserved them, and as they escaped to the forces of Pharaoh, and they were able then to enter into that land and head towards the land, at least, that God had destined for them. And yet here, as they enter this area, this territory that they knew little about, they began to face opposition. It's not always a smooth road in the Christian life. And some people turn back because of that, but others will look to the God of their salvation and say, "It may be difficult, but I'm going to trust God right here and right now." And because you trusted the Lord, God came through for you, didn't He? I have several points in my past. There are several places in my walk with God that I can look to that were, they just stand out in my memory as being key moments when God put me to the test, and I had to make the decision, was I going to trust God even when I didn't see the evidence that I wanted to see? Was I still going to trust the Lord, and was I going to follow through with what He called me to do, or how He was guiding and leading me? And And by so doing, the victory was won. And they are memorials of sorts that are in my memory. Do you have anything like that? This was something that was a great victory that God wanted them to remember. So it was a memorial of a great victory, God's intervention. It was also a memorial to the people of God, of God's judgment against those who oppress and oppose God's people. You know, that's also something to take note of. We may not always have it easy in this life, but we know that Christ is victor, that he won out, and he will always win out ultimately. And though you may not see things turn the way you want them to turn in the moment of time when you think it's most needed, only God knows. If you will trust him and trust his ways and trust his word, he will work things out for you, and you will see that not only will you be preserved, but God does judge those evil forces that come against his church and come against his people, and you will be victor, and God will judge the oppressor. God was not going to allow Amalek to get off the hook, so to speak. God was going to bring judgment, and this remembrance that was written down was to stand as a memorial to that, to the people of God. Should they ever wonder, well, my oppressors, will they gain the upper hand? Will they ultimately be the ones who will be able to boast and at my demise? Oh, no. The word of the Lord was written down to remind them that not only does God provide victory, but there is judgment for the oppressor and those who would oppose the ways of God. And there is a word to the wicked. There are those who choose not to serve God, and they think that they have everything under control, and they need to be reminded from time to time, not so. There is a God in heaven who will cause them to give account for every word and every deed they have ever committed. So it was a memorial of God's judgment against those who oppress God's people. You see, memorials shape the way we look to the future. We look back and we remember. And when we remember what happened, it should shape our way of thinking when it comes to how we conduct our lives in the future as we stand by a graveside of a fallen soldier. It causes us to remember. Sometimes it's amazing how it happens, and it happens from time to time, that you might be in a place you didn't really know the person personally, individually, but there's just something about the moment at that spot, at that memorial, when your thoughts begin to think about the sacrifice that was made. And even though you didn't know the individual, you didn't know all the circumstances, all of a sudden you're moved to tears. How can that happen? You see, memorials are very powerful. They're very powerful. One moment you can be laughing and joking with your friend and then brought into that place where it's solemn and respectful, and you begin to reflect and think about what it means. And just in a moment, it seems, tears begin to run down your face. The power of memorials that we establish in our lives. I think that's really what it's all about, that memorials are there to help shape our lives. They help us look to the future, and hopefully it'll make a difference in the way we live because of the memorial that we've established. They're important. Kelly Strong wrote this poem, "Freedom Is Not Free." And it goes like this: I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many had died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of the fathers, sons and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. It expresses, I think, what many of us feel when we're in the presence of those who have fought and laid down their lives, and we see that memorial that's there. It might be a gravestone. It might be a special national memorial site. There's just something that comes over you. You feel overwhelmed at times, all because of memorials that have been established. Well, not only do we know that memorials serve to remind us of things that need not be forgotten, should not be forgotten, but memorials really indicate what we value most. Think about it for a moment. What we value most. You don't really set up a memorial for something that you don't care about, I don't think. That would be ludicrous. Memorial suggests that there's something of high value that we cherish. I want to turn your attention now to the New Testament. If you look at the book of Acts, it's an interesting phrase. And I thought about this and meditated on it. But notice the way it's written. In Acts, the 10th chapter, and the beginning, we're going to begin with verse 1. And I'll read just a few verses to make some comments on this, point out a few things that I find interesting along this line of memorials. Memorials indicate what we value. It says in Acts, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 1, "Now there was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household," and notice this next phrase, "and gave many alms to the Jewish people." And then this phrase, "and prayed to God continually." In verse 3, "About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him and said to him, 'Cornelius,' and fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God.'" I read that, you know, I've read that many times and just kind of read over. I went back and read it again. And thought about that. God takes notice, doesn't he? He took notice of Cornelius. And he made the statement is made, it's your prayers and your alms that I'm taking notice of, they have ascended as a memorial. Well, several things I think we can take from this passage. One is that His priorities were right in this situation. His priorities were right. Notice what it says. He was generous in the almsgiving. He was generous. Some have said that a man is not truly judged by the amount he has gained. It's by the amount he has given. Think of that for a moment. It's not so much what you gain in life that raises your stature when it comes with God. It's what have you given? What have you sacrificed? What have you done with the things you have? There are so many that are worried more about what they want to get or what they think they should get. So many think they've been deprived. What about those who have practically nothing and yet they think of ways in which they can continue to give and give of themselves, give of what little they have, to help human suffering, to help humankind? It's not so much what you've gotten, it's what have you given in life. And we see that here. Cornelius' priorities were right. He was generous in almsgiving. And it puts in there, he was generous in giving to the Jews. Sometimes we like to give, but we only like to give to our own. How about giving to others, those of a different background and Maybe their ways are strange. We don't really fully understand. And as sometimes we're curious about the way things are done in certain cultures, but yet we give because we sense there's a need there. He was generous in giving alms to the Jewish people. And then it says that he also not only was generous, but it says that God took notice of the way he lived his life. God values selflessness and the desire to live a holy life. That's why he prayed. He wanted to live a holy life. I guess the question could be asked of all of us. Do we want to live holy lives? We want to live life, okay, but what kind of a life do we want to live? Do you just want to live life? For Cornelius, he wanted to live a holy life. He said he prayed continually. And God noticed this, and the interesting thing is that became like a memorial. He said something was established. You see, we establish memorials. There are things that we have erected or we have built and we constructed, and they're there, and they bring us back to a point in time. And here there was no physical thing, that is, there was no structure in place, but the very acts that he did became the memorial that God observed, and it was a memorial because he was faithful in doing it on a continual basis. A lot of good things we've done. We've done it once or twice, and then we've stopped doing it. This was not that kind of behavior on the part of Cornelius. He had established a lifestyle that was faithful in certain things, and that, because it was regular what he was doing, it became a memorial to God. God took notice of the way he lived. There's a Christian memorial that we should keep. And we're going to, in a few moments, participate together. You see this communion table here, and you recognize it. It's not strange to you. You know what it is. And Jesus said this. He said, I'm establishing a memorial for you. This do in remembrance of me. So on Memorial Day, isn't it interesting that it's our Communion Sunday on this Memorial Day? And this is the actual day. Some are going to celebrate it tomorrow. We celebrate it on the first or the last Monday of the month. But this is the day. This is the day. And on this day, when our nation pauses to remember the sacrifice of fallen men and women and young people that have gone off into war and laid down their lives for the cause of freedom, a debt that we never can fully repay, just sacrificial. We think of the one who laid down his life for lost humanity, a sacrifice that we really couldn't repay, but something that has caused liberty and freedom to ring in the hearts of millions upon millions of people down through the years of time since that event at Calvary. Lives that are free right now because of what one singular person did in a moment of time at Calvary. See, memorials are important. They bring us back. This memorial, the taking of the bread and then the fruit of the vine reminds us of the blood. It brings us back to that moment. None of us were there, but in our hearts we go back. In our minds we go back. And we reflect upon what Jesus did for us. And just like those secular memorials, those places that have been so designated as places for solemnity and respect, where we stand and in moments of reflection we're moved to tears, so also in the presence of the Lord, so often it moves us to tears. Amen. Because we're taken back to what Jesus did. If it were not for what he did at Calvary, we would not be here this morning. If it were not for Calvary, we would not be set free. If it were not for Calvary, we would not have a hope for tomorrow. If it were not for Calvary, we would find life difficult and meaningless. There are millions upon millions of people in the world today that are trying to find meaning for life. They've attained what they set out to attain. They set out certain goals in their life, and they've attained those goals. And they come to the end of reaching all those goals, and then they say, what else is there? Is this all there is? Is this it? Everything I thought would bring fulfillment and satisfaction in life, I'm standing now at the pinnacle of my life. I've done it. And yet there's still an emptiness in my soul. For all who have ever experienced that, there is a memorial that is raised. It is the table of the Lord. And at the table of the Lord, we are reminded that, yes, there is someone who has made provision for us so that we might be fulfilled in this life and have bright hope for the life which is to come. Going to ask the brethren to come forward at this time as we prepare to receive these emblems of our Lord's suffering and his death. In the manner in which he prescribed for us, he said we are to remember his life. I'm going to ask that all please hold the bread and the juice until all have been served and we will participate together. Praise the Lord. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have open communion for all believers. If you know the Lord as your Savior, please, we invite you to participate with us in remembering the sacrifice of our Lord.
praise the Lord.
In establishing this memorial, Jesus took the bread, he broke it. He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." So we have this small wafer that reminds us of the life of Christ, the reality of his earthly ministry, the reality of really who he was. He was God in the flesh, not just some spirit being that walked the earth. He was God in the flesh. And because he was in the flesh, he was able to understand the kinds of things that we face in the flesh, the kinds of temptations, the problems that we encounter, all those things, because God became flesh and he lived among us and he experienced life as a man. This reminds us of that. It's that memorial that takes us back in time to that moment when he sat down with the disciples and the Last Supper, and they broke bread together, and it gave new meaning to what they were doing. I want you to remember this. This do in remembrance of me. Remember this. Don't forget it. It is at the very core of who we are as Christians. Because the Master, our leader, our Savior, he established the faith that we have. We're not talking about something conjured up in the minds of men. It's something that came from the heart of God, the plan of redemption. And we are here today because of redemption, because God loved us so much, he made a way of escape, a way of cleansing for the people that who were lost in sin. He made a way. He says, "You remember. Remember the life that I lived in the flesh. You remember. And pass it on to others that they too will remember." And so we are here today. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Nearly 2,000 years later, and we're still remembering. That memorial has stood the test of time. It has been assailed by forces of evil. And yet it still stands today, as durable as ever, as meaningful as ever. And it still moves us to tears as we consider and remember what God did for us. The one who died for us. This reminds us he walked this earth as we walk the earth. Let us partake together of this symbol of his broken body in Jesus' name. The redness of this juice that we have in this little cup speaks to us today of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was in the blood of Christ that he sealed this covenant of salvation for all time. Blood had to be shed if sins were going to be forgiven. There was no one who could do that except the Lamb of God. They don't take my life. I lay it down. I lay it down. And Jesus laid down his life. Why? Because of you, my friend. Because of me. Say, why would he do that? Think of it. Why would he do that? We're celebrating a memorial that speaks to our identity in Christ. He did it because of you and me. Because he loves you enough. He loves you so much. That God, the God of the universe, would look down at planet Earth, just a speck in the planetary system, and they would see a person like you and me and say, they are precious enough they're valuable enough. I'm going to do something about their sinful condition. I'm going to provide a covering, a way of salvation. God sent his son because of you, because of me. And it wasn't because we were so good. He sent his son because of our sinfulness. And there was no other way, my friend. So on this Memorial Day, I say, oh, Jesus, thank you. You did what I could never do. You accomplished a way to heaven that I could never accomplish. Oh, the love for God that we have today because of the provision of Jesus. And his blood was shed on the cross. This reminds us of the total sacrifice of the sinless Lamb of God who laid down his life so that our sins could be forgiven. Let us partake of this symbol of his shed blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing it to the Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, who is worthy and reigns on high. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless your name this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you have accomplished at Calvary for us, O Lord. And as we prepare to leave this place this morning, I pray that we will go with renewed faith in our hearts, energized to do your divine bidding. May we reach the lost, O God, I pray, in this hour, that they too may come to that place of salvation. Jesus, endue us with power from on high. And on this Memorial Day, as we reflect on your goodness, may it serve to empower us for greater service, I pray, in your holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day, a great Memorial Day. Amen.
On my own, now that I am seen.